And so tonight I want you to take your Bibles again and let's go to 1 Thessalonians. As we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to conclude our study that we've been on now for the last three, 4 weeks. And we're looking at these words to live by. And we're going to add one final word tonight, verse 19 or verse 20, verse 21 and verse 22 in just a moment. I'm 47 years old, and I've gotten to the point now, and it probably happened about maybe 10 years ago, that I began to realize that my dad is a pretty smart guy. And some of the things that he taught me growing up as a kid and as a teenager, you know, I kind of questioned. I wonder if he really was in touch with things or he just liked to be a dad and make me suffer through things. I wasn't sure exactly what all that was, but as I've gotten a little older, I've begun to realize just how wise that my dad was and is, and to realize that all the things that he taught me. And I'll go back and honestly, I've tried to think back and I really cannot think of very many times, if at all, even one time that I've ever gone to my dad and said, "Dad, what do you think about this?" And my dad's given a straight answer. Now, that's just my dad. He doesn't exactly give straight answers. He likes to tell stories or he likes to make fun of things. And he's not doing that because he's flippant. He's doing that because he's trying to turn things around to get you to really discern what is right and wrong, to get you to kind of figure things out, to get you to lay everything out on the table, so to speak, so that you'll be able to make the right kind of decision. I've gone to my dad multiple times as a teenager, as a young man, and even as an adult, and I've asked him questions. And he'll usually start out with, "Now, son, that's up to you." Well, if it's up to me, I wouldn't have asked you for help to start with. You know, that's what I want to say. And I want to say, "Dad, just tell me what to do. I trust your judgment, and that's exactly what I'm going to do." Well, that's what I want to have happen. But I don't think my dad's ever done that. He always says, you look on this hand and you know, there's some positives here and some negatives here. And you look on this hand and have you thought about this angle? Have you thought about that angle? And, you know, and then he gets to the end and he again says, "Well, son, that's ultimately up to you. You're going to have to lie in the bed that you make for yourself." Okay. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I've got enough emotional or mental turmoil as is for me to ask you for help. And then you just absolutely made it worse for me. Well, that's what I think in the moment. But as I've learned from him, what he's trained me to do is to weigh out what is right versus what is wrong. And it didn't matter if it was something simple or it was something, you know, pretty big. He taught me all along the way to weigh out what is right and what is wrong, to consider the good and the bad, to consider the pros and the cons. And he's taught me to do those things. And I may not have a lot of wisdom, but I think some of the wisdom that I do have is the direct result of what my dad has put into me by making me really weigh out almost every single decision. Now, my wife will tell you that I weigh out decisions way too much. Multiple times she will say to me, "Just make the decision and go on." And that's not how I've been trained. That's not how I've been wired to do things, because honestly, that's how my dad has taught me how to do something. And so he's taught me this idea of discernment and how important that it is to be able to weigh out things. Now, have I always made the right decisions? No, absolutely not. But it's not been because I've just flippantly walked in and said, "Hey, let's do this. You know, oh, I'm against that. Let's do this." You know, it's been because there's been reason behind it and I've weighed things out. It's that kind of mindset here that the Apostle Paul kind of winds up this first letter to the church at Thessalonica. And so as he's kind of writing these last words, and we've gone through a number of words to live by that he has given to us and how important it is. We started with this idea of respect. Now, we've talked about this idea of being having thanksgiving in our hearts, the idea of praise from last week. We talked about kindle this morning. And he kind of ends it all up with where it really needs to end up, because how important it is for us to discern things. And so our word to live by tonight is this idea of discernment, or the idea of discern. And so as you take your Bibles, notice with me now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me at verse 20. So in light of everything that he said here now, he says, "Do not despise prophecies." He says, "But test everything. Hold fast what is good." And then in verse 22, he says, "And abstain from every form of evil." Now, I think his thinking is, and it's consistent with what he's taught us all along, that you can't live out the gospel if you don't know the gospel. You know, you can't live out the gospel if you don't know it. Now, what's been our premise the entire time? Why are we going through this teaching series? We're going through this teaching series because we're trying to live out the gospel so that we can share the gospel so that we can make disciples. That's what we've been trying to do. But if you don't know the gospel and you don't know the truths of God's word and you're not doing what is right, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to live it out, to even to be able to share it, to be able to make disciples of Christ. And so that's kind of his thinking here, because you and I understand that we cannot model what we do not know, and we cannot model what we are not. We just can't do it. And neither can we be persuaded. Neither can we be swayed by what might be popular culture. Neither can we be moved away from the foundational truths of God's word by anything that's contrary to what the truths of God's word says. And so we, as we understand that, it's more than just, okay, I know God's word or I've memorized these verses. It's the idea that we can't be moved off that foundation of truth in our life. Even if it's popular in our culture today, we certainly cannot do those things. So what he tells us to do is he says, you need to think. He says, you need to study out. You need to make sure that you use your discernment in all ways possible to simply know what is right and what is wrong. Now, that seems very elementary, doesn't it? I mean, it seems very grade school. It seems very grandma and grandpa talking to Johnny and Sally as they're riding down the car, or riding down the road in the car. But the idea is that no matter how old we are or how advanced that we might be, the idea is that you and I must use our discernment to know what is right versus what is wrong. Now, I don't think I have to tell you and persuade you of this today, but we are in a battle for truth today. And by the way, it's not just a battle that's happening today. It's been happening for a number of years now, but we're in a battle for truth today, and that's affecting us today, but it's also affecting, I believe, the future generations, our children, our children's children. What we're doing today, what we've not done well in the last generation, is going to affect them in a great negative way because we're in this battle for truth. And far too long, I believe Christians have been apathetic. I believe Christians have been lethargic, if you will. They've been easily persuaded to refuse and to fight for what is truth in our society. Dr. John MacArthur, in his book, Reckless Faith, says this. He says, one of the reasons for a low level of discernment in the church today is the reluctance to take a definitive stand on any issue. Now, it's sad today, but you can honestly say just about anything you want to say in our culture today, as long as it's not spiritual, as long as it's not moral, and as long as it's not ethical. I'm being truthful here, okay? As long as it's not spiritual, moral, or ethical, you can say just about anything you want to say in our culture today. And sadly that's the case. And those with any kind of convictions at all are supposed to hold those convictions with as much slack as possible. Now, you can stand for what you want to stand for, but now you need to be open and you need to be tolerant to each and every person that is around you. Blake made an interesting observation yesterday, and we were just talking about some things and chatting. He said, Dad, isn't it kind of ironic that these businesses and stores that tell their employees that they cannot say Merry Christmas have Christmas songs playing in the store all the time that have the word Christmas in it? Isn't that kind of ironic, Dad? And I thought, yep, it sure is. It sure is. And I began to tell him that, honestly, when you kind of get to the points of liberalism and you get to the truths that people hold that are against the truths of God's word, and you begin to pace those things out, you begin to see that there's some fallacy, there's some irony that comes in, there's some lunacy in a sense of what people stand for, because it just doesn't hold water. And many of us, we're starting to see this over and over. We were watching TV yesterday or last night as a family, and there was a commercial that was on, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's more and more and more and more commercials with openly gay couples in the commercials, whether it's two women or two men. If you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the very beginning, the musical Prom, I think was the name of it, and had the openly gay couples that were there. And so as you're seeing these things more and more and more and more and more, That's not just even being pushed down our throat. It's been being pushed down our throat for a number of years. The issue that I have is that Christians aren't standing against it. And again, you hate the sin and you love the sinner. I get that, and I understand that. But what Paul is saying to us, he was saying, listen, there's a battle for truth that's happening right now. And you have to know what truth is in order to be able to defend it. And you've got to know that truth and live that truth out so that you can share that truth with other people. And so as we're watching this and we're seeing it develop in our culture today. And we're not supposed to condemn people that are against the Bible. We're not supposed to condemn people that have lifestyles that are contrary to what God's Word teaches us. But what is happening is, and what they're saying to us is that we're supposed to broaden our thinking and we're supposed to increase our tolerance for all people. Now, do I believe the gospel is for all people? Yes, absolutely. Do I believe the gospel can save all people? Absolutely. But the idea of being tolerant to things that are against the truth of God's Word, that's not what it's all about. And that's not what God's Word teaches us. And so as Paul wraps up all of these things that he says that you're to live by, he says you've got to have a sense of discernment about you as a Christian to know what is right and ultimately to know what is wrong. And so virtually all the issues of right and wrong, whether it be true or false or good and bad, today are painted in these shades of gray. Now, there's no just right. There's no just wrong. There's a shade of gray that comes in with this. And you understand this. It's happening in our schools. It's happening in our businesses. It's happening in the military. Hey, it's even happening in churches today. It really is. It's happening everywhere. There's this shade of gray that's there that everybody has a right to be right. And really anybody that stands up against somebody and their rights to be right, even if it's wrong, then that person is the wrong person. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what the Word of God says that we have to be careful of. And unfortunately, many Christians assume that this is the proper way of understanding truth. That, okay, I know what is right. Okay, I know what is wrong, but I also know that there's a gray area. Well, I believe as God's Word teaches us, there's no gray areas here. It's either right or it's wrong. Now, are there some areas that there may not be a thou shalt or a thou shalt not? Yes, we'll talk about that in just a second. But what God wants from us and what we have to develop inside of us is this idea of a spiritual discernment that we're able to see what is right. We're able to see what is wrong. Blake is able to figure out and know, hey, isn't it ironic that you can't say Merry Christmas, but yet they'll play Christmas songs. And their signs will say Christmas, but they can't say Merry Christmas. It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's using discernment. And so here's what Paul says. Look at verse 21. So Paul says, in light of everything, what does he say? He says two words, test everything. That's what he says to us. He says, test everything. Test everything. And so as Paul says, in part of your discernment, he says, you got to test everything. You can't just take what's being popular. You can't just take what's culturally relevant. You can't just take what mom and dad taught or grandma and grandpa taught. You got to test everything. And so how are we to use our discernment? Well, honestly, in these three verses, Paul lays it out very simplistically. And maybe this will help you in your own personal walk. Maybe this will help you in teaching your children or your grandchildren. But Paul lays it out very simply. And he says, number one, he says, you've got to know God's Word. If we're going to be men and women of discernment, how are we going to use our discernment? First and foremost, we have to know God's Word. Again, verse 20, he says, do not despise prophecies. Now, I'm not going to get into the idea of prophecies and the gifts in the New Testament versus gifts that are today and people that were able to prophesy for the spread of the gospel there in the New Testament or whether there's prophecies that are able to happen today. I'm not going to get into that to debate in a sense, and I'm not going to address that. But I'm going to address the word prophecies in the sense of the truths that are found in the Word of God. Again, Greg mentioned it a moment ago about Isaiah in the Old Testament as he's prophesying of Jesus coming to this earth. Well, that's the truth of God's Word in the Old Testament that becomes a reality in the New Testament. And so in a sense here, and as you understand the word prophecy that's given there in verse 20, it's the idea of the teachings of God's Word. So he says, do not despise these teachings. Now, if you're reading this as a Christian, you're like, well, duh, I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to hate God's Word. It's more than that. It's the idea that you're reading God's Word. You're studying God's Word. You're knowing God's Word. You're loving God's Word. You're sharing God's Word. You're teaching God's Word. You're standing for God's Word. That's what you're doing with God's Word. And I'll say this again. You cannot live out what you do not know and what you are not. You can't. And we can say, man, you need to live the gospel so you can share the gospel, and live the gospel so you can share the gospel. We can say that till we're blue in the face. But if you don't know the gospel, and you don't know the truths of God's word, and you don't know what you stand for, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to live it out. Now you say, well, Pastor, this is written to Christians, and you're preaching to Christians. I know exactly who I'm preaching to. Because there's so many people that have been raised in church, but they've not been raised in Christ, and they know about church and they know about Christ, but they don't really know Him. And they don't really know the teachings of God's word. And so Paul says, don't despise these things. Hey, you remember in school? And for some of you that are still in school, this may be a little too close to home. Do you ever remember taking a test that you honestly hadn't really studied for at all? Remember taking those things? And if you were fortunate, it was a multiple choice test. And you're like, okay, B sounds good. Okay, I know it's not D. All the above, that's usually one of those things that's right. Let's do all the above. Let's go, C is the most popular answer. Let's check C here. I did C 3 times in a row, so let's go B on this one, you know. Now, I never did that. That's what people tell me, but that's, you know. And so, you remember how you felt? I mean, you took that test, you're like, man, I bombed this test. I mean, I failed this test. And you failed it because you didn't study. And more than you failed it because you didn't study, you failed it because you didn't know it. You didn't know it. And by the way, you know, a good teacher, you may think that you're kind of cruising through class, and you may think you're kind of taking a few good notes here, and you may think that you're answering all the questions in class, but I promise you, a good teacher will test you, and they will absolutely get you whether you know the material or not. They just will. It's an odd feeling, isn't it, to take that test and you don't know it. You don't know it at all. I believe there's too many Christians that are tested every day, and they fail miserably because they don't know the truth of God's word. They don't know the truth of God's word. And they're tested at work, and they're tested in their families, and they're tested wherever they go, and they fail miserably because they don't take the right kind of stand. They fail miserably because they don't answer according to God's word. And as a result, they're persuaded by the enemy. They give in to unbiblical truths. And because they give in to unbiblical truths and they're persuaded by the enemy, they end up making bad choices. I think we all know the story of Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was truth that was given, but she refused to really know that truth and believe in that truth and live out that truth. And so she was persuaded. I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. You and I are no match for the devil. He is strong. He is a liar. He is a persuader. I mean, he can make everything look great, and he can make you believe anything against what you don't know. But what I'm going to tell you, when you really know something, and I mean you know it, I mean you know that you know that you know, then have you ever taken that test? And you knew that you'd studied. I mean, you'd studied out all of the essay questions. I mean, you studied, the teacher said there's going to be 3 essays, and you studied 5 essays. I mean, you knew it all. And man, you're whizzing through, and you're checking this, and you're circling this, and you're writing this out, and you turned your paper in, and you're thinking, I might have missed one. That's a different feeling, isn't it? It's a great feeling when that happens. Why? Because you've studied. You've known the material. You've known what is there. And so Paul says, listen, hey, respect is important. Kindling is important. Praising is important. And now all those things are vitally important. But he says, listen to me. Hey, you got to know God's word. He says, don't despise the prophecies. Hey, read God's word, study God's word, learn God's word, memorize God's word, teach God's word, share God's word, model it. Because what you're doing in God's word is going to set up everything else. So the second thing he says is this. He says, test everything now against God's word. He says, you got to know it and then test everything against it. Verse 20 now. In verse 21, do not despise prophecies, he says. He says, but test everything. My father-in-law, I've shared with you, is one of those mechanical, I say geniuses. He's more like a nut job in a sense. He's one of those guys that dumps out the whole box of toys. Don't look at me. You know he is. He's one of those guys that dumps out the whole box of toys and just starts putting stuff together, you know? And when things don't fit together, he's that guy that pushes something and screams real loud and it sounds like it broke. And then when everything's finished, there's like 4 parts left over and you're like, well, why? Where's this? And Well, I don't know. It was left over. We're getting into that Christmas season where we're putting some toys together. And, you know, and if you're one of those individuals that buys your kid a swing set and a Playland, well, bless your hearts for doing so. You know, because you're going to have to spend hours and hours and hours and days and days. And if you're like me, months and months and months trying to put one of those things together. You know what happens? You got to follow the directions. Now, my father-in-law, he's going to stand and preach. And by the way, he's a preacher. And he's going to make fun of me. He's going to say, I'm one of those people that I can't do any. I can't move my left and right foot unless I've got instructions on how to do that. I'm one of those guys that follows all the instructions. I lay it all out. I separate all the parts. You know, I don't dump all the bags. If they're separated in bags, the bags are all separated here. We got all the instructions out. And if anybody's helping me, they're on page 4, but I'm still on page 2. And we're not going to do page 3 and 4 until we do page 2. Because when at the end, when we got parts left over, I don't know anything to do with those except throw them away and say they were just extra. But I'm following the instructions. And I'm following step by step by step by step by step by step exactly what's to take place. Here's what Paul says. He says, as you look back to verse 20 and verse 21, he says, point one, knowing God's word enables you to do point two of testing everything against God's word. Now, you can say test everything, but if you don't know what you're testing it against, then you're in trouble. And that's why I always follow the instructions, because here's what step one says, and step one says put part A to part B. Well, if I've put part A to part B, then I know I've got a solid foundation that I can flip the page now and add part C and go on to the next assignment. But if I'm just going all over the place putting parts together, then I don't know where I've messed up and I don't know where the foundational point is. Paul says, listen, in this world of ever-shifting culture and biblical truth or cultural truth against biblical truth, he says, you got to know God's word. And then as you know God's word, then you've got to test everything that's against God's word. I believe the Bible teaches us that there's a couple of key parts when you're studying God's word. I believe there's precepts that are given to us in God's word. And the precepts are the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. Okay? You know, and when we get a thou shalt in the sense of do this, it's pretty simple, isn't it? We get a thou shalt not of don't do this, that's pretty simple to follow. We all like those, don't we? Now, sometimes we run into a situation, we'll run into an issue in our life that there may not be a thou shalt or a thou shalt not, and we have to go to this idea of the principle that's given to us in God's word. I preached a message to you a number of weeks and months ago about alcohol and alcohol consumption. And I can't take you in the Bible and show you verse that says, thou shalt not drink beer. I can't show you that. But I can show you multiple places where there's a principle that says that it is wise that you abstain from even touching it. Multiple places that the Bible says that. And so as you run into particular issues in your life, or you want to run into questions, or society throws things out to us, and there may not be a thou shalt or a thou shalt not, then what you have to do is you have to look at the principles that's taught to us in God's word. And as you see these precepts and you understand these principles that are taught to us in God's word, and by the way, anybody, including good Christian people, can take a word or a verse and make it into something that they want. You've got to take the context of the passage. You've got to take the context of the chapter. Hey, sometimes you've got to take the context of the entire book to really understand what this particular word or this particular phrasing is actually saying. But I promise you, the word of God will stand upon precepts and principles. It just will. And so as you're testing, as you're knowing God's word, and you're standing for biblical truth, then what are we doing? We're testing against those things that are right and against those things that are wrong. Many of us, we know some spiritually mature Christians. And as we grow older, we often think, I wonder how they got to be so spiritually mature. You know, say, oh, well, you know, their granddad was a pastor and their dad was a pastor. And, you know, well, they were raised in church. And does that really have anything to do with it? Well, it's got some influence. But if you really want to know what the heart of a spiritually mature person is all about is, they know God's word. They test everything against God's word, and they make decisions based on that. That's a spiritually mature person. It's not just about I've read 17 chapters in the Bible today. It's not that I know 100 Bible verses, and I'm not, if you can read 17 chapters and know 100 Bible verses, hey, that's wonderful. But it's not just about checking off a list. It's about understanding the Word of God and then making the right kind of decisions based on what the Word of God says to us. I think there's, again, too many Christians today are immature, and they're immature because they don't know God's Word. And because they don't know God's Word, they don't have anything to test when they're being tempted and to test when they're being questioned. And so what do? They rely on what they know. They rely on the flesh. They rely on what's culturally popular. They rely on what's going to get them the promotion, or it's what's going to get them more popularity. And they end up making poor choices because they don't know God's Word and they're not testing everything against God's Word. Paul says, listen, if you're going to develop your discernment, you got to know God's Word, and then you got to test everything against it. But then there's one final thing that he says in verse 22. He says, follow the right and avoid the wrong according to God's Word. We got to know it. We got to test it, test everything against God's Word. And then he basically says, what's right, follow it. What's wrong, stay away from it. And again, we're basing everything on God's Word here. Verse 20, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. He says now, verse 21, hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. The word hold fast is the idea of embracing wholeheartedly. It means to take possession of. You ever seen a child at Christmas or a child on a birthday, or a child gets a new toy? And it's the toy they've been longing for months. I mean, they'll say, I've been wanting this all of my life. You know how they are? And they'll take it and they'll embrace it and they'll just squeeze everything out of it. That's the idea of holding fast. That's the idea of taking possession of something and holding fast to it. And nobody else is going to take it. And it's as if you're squeezing the life out of it because you want it so badly and you don't want anybody else to have it. You want to have full ownership of this blessing to you. The word abstain means to hold oneself away from something. Some of you are friends with Eddie and Amanda Simmons. Remember Eddie Simmons, who was at our missions conference a couple of years ago? Eddie and Amanda are in Kenya, in very primitive areas. And he posted a picture on Facebook this week that they're basically trying to kill a cobra. Now, I'll be honest with you. He was way too close to that cobra for me. I mean, I would have been in another continent, you know what I mean? I mean, that would have been me if there's a cobra. But you know what most of us do when we see a snake that's a black snake? Forget a cobra. You know what we do? Man, we run as fast as we can away from it. Sometimes we run rather sillily. Is that a word, sillily? Did I say that word? It's late. In a very silly manner, I'm trying to use my proper adverb English. I just didn't do that. I just butchered everything. But when we see a snake, you know what we do? We're gone. I mean gone. I mean we're running out of the house. I mean we're running to the neighbor's yard. I mean we're running across the street. Why? Because we don't want to be around it. The idea of abstaining here is the idea of getting far away. So do you see the difference here? The idea of clutching and holding on to something and the idea literally of running away from something. And so he says, as you know God's Word, and then you're going to test everything against God's Word. And he says, those things that are good, those things that are profitable, those things that are pure and lovely. Remember what Paul said there in the book of Philippians? He says, you hold tight to those things. But he says, those things that are evil, those things that are contrary to the Word of God, those things are going to be harmful or evil to us. He says, you run away from those things as far as you can go. That's what he's basically saying to us. Again, I'm quoting Dr. MacArthur, and he said this. He said, to be innocent is in what is evil is not to be ignorant of it or to disregard it. He says, we cannot abhor evil unless we have some idea of what it is. But to use a popular analogy, the only reliable way to recognize a counterfeit bill is to completely be familiar with the genuine bill. The only reliable way to recognize evil is to be thoroughly familiar with the good. And the only reliable way to learn what is good is to learn God's Word. And so Paul says, according to God's Word, hey, listen, if it's evil, abstain from it, run away from it. If it's good, man, take possession of it. And as you're doing those things, what's happening? You're transforming your life. Remember the video clips we've been showing over these last few weeks? We're transforming our life and we're becoming more like Christ and we're becoming less like the world. We're becoming more like God and we're becoming less like the world. We're becoming more like the Holy Spirit and we're becoming less like the world. And so as we're becoming more like the Lord, then what are we doing? Then we're more able to be able to live the gospel so that we can share the gospel, so that we can make disciples. And it all comes back to knowing God's word. It all comes back to testing everything against God's word. And it all comes back to following what is right and running away from what is evil. And so we get to this point and we think discernment. Sounds a lot like wisdom. And we need wisdom. You say, Pastor, it sounds like to me we just need some good wisdom. And that's true. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is the byproduct of knowledge plus understanding. It's not just knowledge and it's not just an understanding. It's both. You got to have both to have wisdom. You got to have a knowledge and you got to have an understanding to have this idea of wisdom. So the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 1, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so if you really want to have wisdom, he says, then you've got to reverence the Lord. You've got to respect him. What's one of the ways we respect God is we know his word, we understand his word, we read his word, we live out his word each and every day. You say, well, I still need wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so the Bible tells us what wisdom is all about and in the very foundation of it. And the Bible says to us that, hey, listen, if we want wisdom, if we want this discernment, we'll call it, then we're to ask for it. I mean, we're to seek out the Lord, and the Lord has promised us that he won't withhold it from us. We'll be able to be able to get that wisdom, and he'll give it to us liberally. How many of you, by show of hands, and this is, we're in church, you got to tell the truth. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever gotten a box of cereal, either as a child or as an adult, wanted the prize in the bottom, opened up the cereal box and took your nasty, dirty, unwashed hand and stuck it all the way down in the bottom of the cereal, pulled the prize out, put the box back in the shelf, and watched a sibling or another family member open the box of cereal and get something for breakfast? How many of y'all have done that? I see. I'll make sure when I come eat at your house to ask you to wash your hands. I'll bring my food. I'm just kidding. Hey, by the way, do they still put prizes in the box of cereal boxes, bottom of cereal boxes anymore? They do that anymore? You say they do, Christopher? They put them there? You're the one of the guys that raised their hands. You weren't one of those guys. All right, watch this and I'm done. You know what we want when we want wisdom? We see almost wisdom as that prize in the bottom of the cereal box. And you know what we want? I mean, we want wisdom right now. And we go straight to the bottom and pull the prize out. That's what we want. Now, a good parent says what? Well, now that prize, Johnny, is for you, but you've got to eat all the cereal that's good and healthy for you to be able to get the prize in the bottom of the box. You got to eat all the cereal. Don't stick your nasty hand down in there. Your brother and your sister, your mom and dad, everybody else wants some of that. You can't do that. You've got to eat all the cereal to be able to get to the prize. Can I just be honest with you? I asked you to be honest with me a second ago. Sometimes I'm a lazy Christian. Anybody else with me? I'm a lazy Christian. I just want to reach in the bottom. Okay, God, I need this. Will you give it to me right now? And let's move on. But you know what God often has for us? And by the way, you know, sometimes God just smiles on us just like that, and he gives that to us. But most of the time, there's a process that happens. Because God is not just concerned about giving us what we want. God's concerned about making us more like him. And there's a process that has to happen. And that process, he says, is you got to know my word. And he says, as you know my word, then you got to test everything against my word. And then he says, the things that I teach you that are right, he says, you got to hold on to those things. And the things that I teach you that are evil, he says, you got to run away from those things. And as you develop that process, then you'll become more mature and more mature and more mature so that you can live out the gospel, so that you can share the gospel, and then you can have disciples. It's a process. And as I said this morning in my morning message, you got to trust the process sometimes. And you may be sitting here tonight and honestly, your discernment hadn't been really good. You've watched some things on television that you probably shouldn't. You've gone to some places that you probably wish you hadn't gone to. Maybe you've made some decisions that you're thinking, That's probably not the wisest, spiritually mature thing I could have done. Some of you are in the valley of decision tonight, and you're asking God for wisdom. You're asking God for an answer to show you what to do. You're going to my dad, in a sense, and you're asking, hey, just show me what to do. And if you'll just tell me what to do, then that's what I'll do, and we'll move on. And God may be saying, wait, I've got a process I want to put you through. I want to show you some things. I want you to know my word, and I want you to love my word, and I want you to be able to develop and test everything against it. And as you do that, I want you to choose what is right and stay away from those things that are evil. And so what we have to do, if we're going to be discerning Christians, the idea of compromising to go along, the idea of compromising to be tolerant, the idea of compromising just so we can be gray and not cause any friction, those things can't happen. I'm not trying to get you to pick a fight tomorrow at work. I'm trying to get you to be wise. I'm trying to get you to use discernment to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. And as Paul lays this out for us, it all starts with us personally. I mean, we can always talk about this political debate, and we can talk about this theological fight that my family's in, and we can talk about those things. But to be honest with you, my greatest fight many times is just my day-to-day walk and my day-to-day discernment and my day-to-day knowing God's Word and testing everything against God's Word and trying to take what's good and stay away from those things that are evil. And the more you develop that on a regular basis, the more you'll be able to handle that question that comes tomorrow at work, the more you'll be able to really say what needs to be said in that theological debate in your family, and the more you'll be able to live it out so that you can really share it. I don't know what's happening in your life tonight. I don't know what decisions that you wish that you could take back. I don't know what valley of decision that you're in right now. Maybe you're begging God for wisdom and discernment. Let me encourage you, go back to God's Word. Find out what God's Word says. Then test what you're about to do or not about to do against what God's Word says. And if God's Word says do what is right, then do it. And if God's Word says don't do this because it's evil, then you need to stay away from it. And then be smart enough and accepting enough and faithful enough, or having faith enough and trust enough, to simply do what the Word of God says. Because you know what many of us do? How many of you ever reached your hand down the bottom of that box and got the prize and pulled up the prize and go, well, that wasn't what I wanted. Well, what God's Word says may not be exactly what you wanted, but I promise you it's what's best for you. And sometimes we get ourselves in a mess because we know what God's Word says. We know exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and yet we choose to not accept it because we want to do what we want to do. Stop doing what you want to do and start doing what the Word of God says that you're supposed to be doing. And that's where discernment comes in. That's where spiritual maturity comes in. That's where we're able to live it out so we can share it. However God's speaking to your heart tonight, maybe you need to come and say, God, I need some help. I need some discernment. I'm really weak in this area. And God, I'm allowing some things to take place that I know are wrong. And Lord, give me strength. And some of you may need to come tonight and say, God, I've got a big decision this week at work. And I've got a decision this week when I go see my doctor. And I don't know what I need to do. Will you give me discernment to know what is right? Aren't you thankful tonight that we serve a good, good Father? That no matter what we're going through, no matter what might be on our mind, He's willing to listen. He wants to listen. He wants to help us. He wants to lavish us in His favor. Many times we sell ourselves short because we don't bring everything to Him. I pray tonight that you'll do that.